Welcome back, everyone. My name is Sam.
And I'm Melissa.
I grew up in the FLDS community. It is a polygamous group run by Warren Jeffs, and I moved out when I was 18 years old.
I was raised LDS. Sam and I have been married for 9 years and have two awesome kiddos.
Yes, we do. We quickly want to thank our donors on DonorBox and the members of our YouTube channel. We really do appreciate your love and support.
Yes, today we are back with another episode where Sam and Mike King from Profiling Evil are exploring and talking about old times in the Short Creek area.
Yes, very unique perspective that we have here. It was such a pleasure to be able to spend the day with Mike King. He was one of the law enforcement officers that spent a lot of time in Hilldale in Colorado City during the time that I was a boy out there. So he has a unique perspective that was very interesting to me. One of the first times I've heard someone speak from law enforcement perspective. So I'm excited to share that with you and add some perspective to the video along the way as well.
Yes, the video today is going to be them just chatting in the car about some things about Short Creek. And we'll get into it.
All right.
So I want to drive over, Sam, to the FMJ Zoo. And every time I mention this place, the first question in the chat is, what on earth does FMJ stand for?
Well, FMJ stands for Fred M. Jessup. Fred Jessup, or otherwise known as Uncle Fred, as we refer to him as, was the bishop in Hilldale, Colorado City area for the FLDS Church for many, many years. Most of the time I was living here, he was the bishop. We looked up to him, loved him. He was very, very well respected. Some people thought he was going to be the prophet after Ruland Jeffs died. He was an older gentleman, though, and didn't live too much longer after Ruland Jeffs passed away. So, but the zoo was named after him. He loved animals. The community loved him, and I believe that's where the name came from.
Well, that's interesting. Now, a bishop in the Latter-day Saint faith has responsibility over the entire congregation, and they have responsibility to take care of the needs of people from a humanitarian standpoint.
Yes.
It was a similar in the FLDS, and when you say bishop, what was his role as it pertained to people's needs in the community?
Yes, so very similar in the sense that it was his role to kind of look out for and be there for the people of the FLDS. Before Warren Jeffs became prophet, we did have a storehouse here in Colorado, or Hilldale actually, and it was for the needs of those that, you know, of the community that were less fortunate or had less money. And in those times, you could go there and get food or things you needed for, if not free, a very discounted price. And so that was a big part of it. He also was in all the meetings and things and would talk with the community and was just a very well-known figure throughout the community. He was also the husband of Lydia, Aunt Lydia, who was the midwife that helped bring all the children into the community. So
wow.
When we would, in fact, I had multiple times where I would go and visit, we called it Hilldale, the clinic where the babies were born, we called it Hilldale. There was also a branch that was there for healing or if someone was injured, that kind of thing. And there was a moment, I have a very vivid memory, I fell down and gashed my, actually, I think it was on this side, a big hole in my head. I tripped and fell into a sharp corner and got a nice big gash. They took me to Hilldale, and there they gave me stitches. And while I was getting stitches, Uncle Fred came and gave me a lollipop and said, "You did a great job." But he was that kind of person. He was a jolly fellow that we all loved, and he seemed to just be a very loving person.
I have a question.
Yeah.
So in the LDS, you know, a bishop is in charge of a ward.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with Short Creek, did you all meet at one meeting time? Like, was it all just one big meeting with thousands of people, or was, yes, it separated into smaller wards?
It was one. So the general meeting was all together. I looked at general meeting held every week, almost as though it was like a general conference. Like,
oh, okay.
So many people would come together. Sometimes even the Canadian group, where Winston Blackmore was the bishop up in Canada, for the FLDS. And so sometimes even there, they would tune in to our general meetings, and sometimes they would voice Winston Blackmore's voice over the speakers in our meeting down in Short Creek.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So You want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
So that we could hear him give his sermons as well. So, but yes, it was a little different because we would all meet together in the same building all at the same time. And so there wasn't like multiple bishops in Colorado City and Hilldale. There was just the one. And then, like I said, there was the other one up in
Canada.
I'm trying to remember if there was a different bishop at one point in northern Utah, because there was also a big presence of FLDS people in northern Utah.
That was going to be my next question.
Before 2022 or 2002. Sorry, yes, before 2002. But I don't remember if there was a bishop up there. Not that I know of, but maybe someone can help me remember that. I don't know for sure.
So what was the purpose of the bishop if the prophet was at every single one of the main meetings?
So the bishop would still have a lot of sermons. He would also teach the community.
Okay.
But I think that he held specific roles, like I said, in that he was in charge of making sure the community is well taken care of.
Gotcha.
And he did have different roles. And he would also talk about different things that the community needed and things like that. So, but it wasn't ever... I don't remember the bishop ever being the one that was in charge of the meeting. That didn't seem to be the case, at least when I was attending. Maybe before I was born, things were different. But when I was there, he was just another leader in the community. And there were a lot of like other leaders, leadership positions like patriarch, for example. And those patriarchs would also just attend the meetings like normal, but would have very high callings in the community.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah.
Did they all sit on the stand up at the front?
They did. So,
like in the LDS, just for those who aren't familiar, in the LDS church, your bishop is in charge of the congregation, typically about 300 members, and the bishop and his counselors sit up on the stand in front of everybody every week, even if they're preaching or not preaching sermons.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So normally they would always be sitting on the stand.
Okay.
All of the main leaders of the church, and then not everyone would teach or give a sermon of any kind. But typically, I'm trying to remember back, typically whether they were teaching or not or giving a sermon, they would all sit on the stand during the main meetings. And things were different too, because in the mainstream LDS church, Sunday school is held in the church buildings, right?
Yeah.
So, and also the sacrament is a ritual that is done during the main meeting at church every Sunday. So in the FLDS, that was different in that the sacrament was partook of and the ritual was done in the home.
Oh.
So we held Sunday school in our homes Sunday morning, and then we would go and attend the general meeting at 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay.
So that was a little different than some people might be used to.
How long would the general meetings go for?
Normally 2 hours.
Ooh, that's a long sacrament meeting.
Yeah.
I mean, I know it's not, you didn't take the sacrament, but that would be the equivalent in the LDS.
As a kid, it was never enjoyable. I think every kid would say the same. When you're sitting there in a meeting for that long and there's no, all it is people speaking. That's all it is. So, I mean, I tried to come up with games of, I don't know, whatever I could find and try to just look at certain people, try to find people in the crowd or, you know, because it was a huge congregation as well.
Yeah.
A couple or maybe even several thousand people would fit in that meeting house. So it was a big group of people.
Wow.
That is, it's so interesting just driving around here. I mean, there's not that many streets in this town. And so you could pick any street in town, drive down, and I will have one or two or 100 memories on that street.
Well, I just shout out a memory as you go along. For instance, here, this home we're just passing, another home with UEP on it. And that's the first time I've ever noticed that on that particular home.
Yes, there's always things that I notice different as I drive around town, because as a young boy riding my bicycle around town, trying to go from one place to another as fast as I could pedal, in some cases, sneaking out to say hi to a girl.
Welcome to Arizona.
Oh, there we are, folks. We're in Arizona.
We're in Arizona. We crossed the line there.
Funny story about crossing the line, because Short Creek gets the two towns, the two borders, right? Yep. And they have a street called Uzona. It just makes it Utah and Arizona, Uzona. And if you're on one side, you're in Arizona, and on one side is Utah. And it cracked me up the first time.
It makes perfect sense.
It does.
I mean, you know.
But it makes for a funny name, Uzona.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and they have the on the border store and things like that where it's they try to take advantage of the all right on the border. A lot of people ask the question, was it strategically placed that way so that they could jump state lines quickly if they were trying to avoid law enforcement and things like that? It was never taught that it was on purpose. So I guess the quick answer is I don't know. But I will say that in the FLDS, in meetings throughout my family, no one ever mentioned that we needed to be on state lines in order to avoid law enforcement. So that's what I know about that.
Yeah. And where the state line is, I mean, I don't know how they originally come up with state lines, right? Like someone grabs out a map and they're like, here it is. But it's all one like little valley. It's not like other than the road Uzona, you would have no idea that you're going from one state to another. No. It's one very combined community. So it is interesting that it happens to be on a border at all.
Yeah. And maybe originally there was something to do with the strategic placement of it. It's very likely, but someone that's a history in Short Creek area that knows all the history from way back in the day, maybe the can help us figure out exactly why that was done that way.
Yeah.
But anyway, I didn't really pay attention to all the details as a young boy. And so now driving around and just kind of soaking it all in has been kind of enjoyable for me.
Well, that brings up an interesting part as we look at a couple of women in their prairie dresses. And I'm not going to, again, zoom in on them, folks. They just happen to be all over. But here's three women walking down the street, clearly still practicing plural marriage.
And so that makes me wonder, when I see girls dressed up like it used to always be here in the community, it makes me wonder if there are still a few families here that follow Warren Jeffs, or the other option could be that they're dressed that way because that's what they feel comfortable with. Even if they don't follow Warren Jeffs, maybe they're still practicing polygamy. Maybe they're still dressing and believing the things that they used to believe in some extent. Because I have some siblings I know that have left the FLDS church, but still practice a very similar lifestyle and belief system.
As we're driving along, I mean, we're seeing a lot of things that are really interesting. Number one, we're passing over Short Creek, and I think it was 2015 when all of the lives were lost on Short Creek. Was it 15? Yeah, and that creek, when it is at flood stage, is one dangerous torrent. Why don't you kind of describe that a little bit, and maybe while you're doing that, I'll try to find some stock image video of that thing during those times when it was washing over the roads.
Yeah, so what we call the creek here, and where the creek gets the name, or Short Creek, is because there is this creek that runs through town, and it generally is dry or has a very, very small trickle of water that runs through it. But during the really wet seasons, these big mountains, you know, whether it's a lot of snow or a lot of rain, if a lot of water comes at once, the creek here will completely overflow and cause a lot of damage to roads and bridges and things that go over it. It can and has taken out homes and houses, and it's caused a lot of damage. And of course, as you know, in around 2015 time, did kill multiple people when that happened.
Yeah, that was a horrendous event. I remember the commissioner of public safety was a friend of mine, Keith Squire. And I remember watching video of him down here and the emotion that he was feeling. Because again, whether it is someone involved in plural marriage or a cult or whatever you want to define it, the loss of human life is a horrible thing.
Yeah.
So where were you? You had left by the time that this happened, right?
Yes.
Had the incident with the kids being washed away in the creek. And how did you hear about it?
It was all over the news. At that point, I was living in St. George, Utah. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I just try to find out as much information as I could, reach out to as many people as I could, be as helpful as possible. But with things like that, it's just so sad. There's no fixing it, right?
Yeah, there's nothing really to do to help, right?
There were young kids that were never found, that were washed away, and months were spent trying to find people that were never found. So very, very difficult time for a lot of people. But yes, I was nearby, but once again, I wasn't a part of the FLDS community, so it wasn't one of those things where I was extremely involved, because who this happened to, this was in about 2015, I believe, these people were still, or those that were involved are still members, to my knowledge, of the FLDS and Father Warren Jeffs. So they, you know, it wasn't just people living in the community. It was those that were still following Warren Jeffs at the time. So it wasn't like you could go knock on the door and go sit down for supper and talk about what was going on, because as an outsider now at this point, I wasn't welcome into the homes.
Yeah. So sad. So sad.
Well, the one thing about that event that did frustrate me, which I don't think I've ever talked about this publicly, but some of the people or some of the parents of those children that lost their lives actually were filmed on the news talking about, you know, their feelings and everything. And I noticed at least one of them, one of the fathers, used that as an opportunity to build some kind of favor for the church and trying to say that the outside people are destroying the church. And maybe, and I think he even blamed some of the death on the fact that outsiders were coming in trying to take over their community. And so that was very frustrating to hear. But other than that, it was just a lot of tears and heartbreak. Such a difficult time.
Which goes back to an earlier discussion we had where these misaligned leaders will say the reason there's heartache is because you sinned.
Exactly.
People,
exactly.
Instead of the fact that life happens.
Right. And it's very easy to try to blame someone else or blame something or someone, right? And I think that they use that opportunity to blame the outsiders.
Yeah. Well, as we're pulling up here, I've got a little image playing of the zoo and the entrance into the zoo. Let's get out and chat a little bit about this place.
Well, not that we want to leave you on pins and needles, but we are going to save the actual zoo for next week. So stay tuned for that if you want to hear more of what it was like for Sam to grow up in polygamy and see more of a tour of Short Creek with him and Mike King. Please like and subscribe.
Yes, we're very much looking forward to next week's video about the zoo. I had a lot of really good memories, childhood memories in that area and in that zoo. So thank you all so much for being here with us today. We look forward to seeing you next time.
Talk to y'all soon.